we are going to go through scripture by scripture. And the topic is on part 2, praying for spiritual growth. And we went through last week, part 1. And today we are going to go on verse 16 and 17. And as I said last week, a lot of us, when we come to pray, the first things we pray is what we see and what we face. Those are physical things, physical needs. Those are things that come into our presence immediately, and a lot of us walk by sight, and we don't know what to do, and we pray. Alright? So, just to let you know, there's nothing wrong in praying for physical needs. But the most important thing is to pray for the spiritual growth. That's the most important thing, and you will see why is it going to be more important. Because if you have that, the second one, you can take care of it. You can go through trials and tribulations. And so we are going to go through verse 16 and 17, which says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened and with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And here, of course, Apostle Paul is praying in his knees. This is his prayer request for the believers in Ephesus. Now, let us see the contrast. Let us take these two scriptures just very briefly and see the contrast of the world perspective and a biblical perspective, which we are going to see. And the world way, or the fleshly way, is, if I see verse 16, the worldly or the fleshly way is that our outward man and all other things, we will be strengthened by the might of this world. By the might of this world, that our outward man will be strengthened. Verse 17, so the world will live in our flesh, so we will walk by sight, and that we will do whatever to get things done our way. So the world will live in our flesh, so we are walking by sight, and we will do whatever in the flesh to get things done. Oh. A lot of times, I'll tell you, we hear the word, and when we live, as we walk, many of us, we see things, and we are going to see it's so important to walk in the Spirit. In the Spirit, that means really trusting in God's word. Now, when I come here, or when you live as a Christian in your home, or at your job, or wherever, your conduct, you are living to the contrary to the world's ways. And it is not easy. When you say you are living, it's what you talk, it's what you say, it's what you conduct and act, everything to the contrary. That means you're opposing to the world's way. And you are the minority. And it's not going to be easy. Now, the result is, if you go according to the world's way, what I said before, that if you walk by sight, then the result is, when there are problems that comes your way or my way, if I go that way, we can get into the flesh. And I may get angry when things doesn't come the way I want it, because it's not coming my way. So I don't like it. So I get angry. Maybe when I get angry, the next thing is to quarrel, fight, because it's not my way. Then I'll get mad and mad. Upset, yes, really upset. Moody, oh yeah. Nobody wants to see my face then. On the other hand, the Christians are to be spiritually strong. We can overcome by the grace of God the problems we face. Many are walking by sight because they see the problems immediately and they get paranoid. We need to walk not by sight as Christians. We need to know, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you know that they did a survey about all the worries and the problems they are thinking of tomorrow? 80% of them doesn't come true. And Jesus, you know, we need to walk by faith in God. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, you will see this is how the world sees it. And Jesus gave a very basic way for us to, so that our attitude will be changed. Matthew chapter 6, 31. Jesus said, Matthew 6, 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Okay, so the world is seeking these things. Then he says, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day its own trouble. We see Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesian churches, for the believers. His prayer is that the believers would be strong. I think that is every pastor's prayer, that the flock will be strong. When we are strong in the Lord, the results are amazing, because the result is all the glory goes to God. People in the world will see, when you are strong, people in the world, at your work or wherever you are, will see that maybe this guy can face problems. They will see you as a different person, not like any other person. They will see not only that you can face problems, you can overcome them, because then they will know, I know that he's going to a church. I know he's a Christian. And when they are facing some difficult situation, they are the first one to come and ask them, can you pray for me? Because they don't want to go and ask some guy who is cussing and cursing to pray. They will go to the man of God. The reason is they see that you not only believe, but you are living the faith. And what an opportunity for you to witness to that person now. The door is open. What an opportunity. So even the unbelievers come to us when they see our character in the Lord. And we can tell them, hey, it's not me. It's the Lord working through me. It's by grace I was like you. So there's an opportunity to witness. Now let's go scripture by scripture. How Apostle Paul prayed for the church. So Ephesians chapter 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Paul is praying in his knees to the believers that God will give according to the rich and abundant glory, that our inner man may be strengthened with might. Because God is rich in wisdom, rich in knowledge, rich in spiritual blessings. Remember, Apostle Paul said in Romans 11:33, I'll read it for you, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Again, we see it is God who grants and gives the strength. according to His glorious riches. God is spirit and gloriously abundant in spirituality and riches which He can bestow to the believers by His grace. Now, what do you mean when Apostle Paul says in verse 16 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man? What do you mean by the inner man? If there's an inner man, there's an outer man. The outer man is your body. That's the outer man. It's what you can see from your eyes. It's you. It is this flesh where we can see. And the inner man is our soul. It's just like, to give an example, for a computer to work efficiently, you need to have the hardware where you can see. At the same time, you need to have the software. You don't see the software. You don't see your soul. A lot of times we pray for our body and for outward things, and a lot of times men and women, they spend a great deal of money for their outward things. You know, I have been to different churches before, and I have been to different prayer meetings before, and it's so sad when they get into these prayer meetings, before they pray, they get into all kinds of worldliness. Talk about the sale here, there, and all the, you know, all kinds of nonsense, worldliness. Then suddenly they say, okay, now let's pray. It's like totally was in the flesh, now you're just pressing a button to go to the spirit. It's like a work now you got to do. Prayer is not a work. And I'll tell you, and look at our outward bodies. If you look at our outward bodies, it is going to the grave. Day by day we are getting old, is on the way to the grave. If you don't believe it, take your pictures when you are young and compare them today. And, you know, and a lot of times outwardly we want to be strong, we want to be good looking, we want to be handsome, and, you know, we spend so much time, effort, and energy for the outer man. But how much energy and labor you put for the inner man? The most important thing. The inner man. The Bible talks about an inner man. That's your soul. Because the outer man, all the energy and the labor and the money and everything that you put is going to go to the grave. Yeah. The worms are going to have a feast on your body one day. But the soul is going to live. The soul will live forever, in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. The soul is going, that's where the most important issue here. But Satan, a lot of times he comes, he doesn't want us to hear those things, right? He said, he's very deceiving. So the most important thing is the inner man. And God sees the soul. That's why Apostle Paul keeps praying for the inner man to be strengthened. The outward man, the flesh, is going to get older and it's going to grow older. But the soul for the Christian, man, as you grow in the Lord, your spirit is going to get stronger and stronger. You may be getting older. As a Christian, maybe you might say, hey, I have been a Christian for so many years, but I'll tell you, you have grown a lot. Because the more you are a Christian, you may be growing outwardly, you may be, your body is falling down, But inwardly, your spirit is growing stronger. But there are some who are, the inner man is not growing at all. They remain the same. And we are going to see why. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 says, hold on to Ephesians and go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. So Paul says, Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, there's an outward man and an inner man. Outward man is perishing. The inward man for the Christians, that is the soul, is getting renewed day by day. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, 16. The word, when he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, is to be strengthened with might. The word strengthen in Greek is, the word strengthen is in Greek is kratiou, which means to be strong. It means that you're not strong and just sitting there, but this strongness, this is an increase in strength. That means it's a growing strength. And also it says strength with might. And the word might there comes from the Greek word dunamis, where our English word dynamite comes in. You know what dynamite can do? We all know, right? It can blow anything. That's how powerful it is. And the word of God says that here God in his abundant riches and glory he's able to strengthen the inner man with might. That means you can be like a dynamite inside. You don't have to blow up things saying that you got the dynamite power. We are going to see that. That means strength under control. That means power under control. Now, it's amazing that we take all kinds of vitamins, foods, we do exercises so that we will become physically strong. But even the most physically strong person can be weak and powerless if that person is spiritually weak. I don't care how powerful that person is, you can become powerless. And you can become so weak spiritually, and that person can be a food for Satan if that person is, you know, without God. So you know what happened. Give you a little illustration. Take Goliath and David. Goliath was a pretty big guy. He was a huge, humongous, giant, strong. But what happened to him when it comes to God's power? God's strength, God's might. So always the spirit has to be strong. When the spirit is strong, it can win the battle by the grace of God. So, but the true Christians who prays for spiritual growth daily is always hungry for God. A lot of times when we come and pray, don't just pray for your needs, what you see and so forth like that. Pray for your spiritual growth. See what you're lacking in your spiritual growth. If you're angry, and if you get, you know, if you are a person who gets jealous all the time, if you're a person who is so greedy all the time, pray for those things. And ask the Lord, God, these are a big problem for my flesh. And be sincere with God. Be sincere. A lot of times, we are not sincere with God. We take God like our boss, so we don't want to show our weaknesses. You know, We don't want to tell all my weaknesses to my boss, right? So we take God like a man. No. The Bible says as Christians, we can call God, we can cry to Him by saying, Abba, Daddy. God, we have a personal relationship. If we have a personal, intimate relationship, we need to be sincere with God. Tell everything. Because if you don't tell, God sees it anyway. So we need to be humble before Him and sincere before Him. That's what God's love. Just like the tax collector who came to pray. He was sincere. Now, Apostle Paul's prayer is so that they might not faint as, you know, when as we are in Christ, we need fresh supplies of strength that enable us to exercise His grace, even to work in the ministry, to resist Satan and his temptations, to oppose ungodliness, corruptions, and to bear the cross, and to undergo afflictions cheerfully. Undergo afflictions cheerfully. We need to be strong in the spirit. But as I said, many are not praying for spiritual growth, so they remain the same because they are concerned mostly of worldly things. They don't care about spiritual things. They're more concerned about the worldly things. Cares of this world, cares of the flesh. But God wants us to be strong in the spirit and bless us abundantly with spiritual blessing. Now, if you ask God for spiritual blessings, be very sincere. And if you ask God, you think that God is going to turn a deaf ear on you and say, there's no way I'm going to give you these spiritual blessings. God will not give you the physical blessings, but on spiritual blessings, oh my goodness, God is, there's so much abundance. But the problem is, we are so prideful. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, who if his son asks for bread, and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want men do to you, do also to them, for this is the law. What the Lord is saying is, a lot of people take this scripture and use it only for physical ways. They are using this scripture for physical blessings. You know, if God asks, and the door will be open. God, I'm going to ask for a Mercedes. Where is the door open? Didn't. So that's not the way it works. Jesus, a lot of time, when Jesus speaks, He speaks spiritual things. So important that we need to understand Jesus, of course, Jesus in Matthew 6, 31 and 33, we saw, seek first the kingdom of God. All the other things He will add on to you. So the most important is the spiritual blessings. Now, let's go to verse 17, Ephesians, continue. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now the word here, dwell, is to live permanently. God is to dwell in the temple. But we Christians are the temple of God now. And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. When the Holy Spirit comes to the born-again Christian and dwells in us, He dwells in us permanently. Not temporarily. That means the Holy Spirit will not come and stay for a while and say, "Wow, I cannot bear this guy. I'm going to get out from here." That's not the God that we are talking. When He comes, He will stay there permanently. And by faith, we know this. Faith, our faith is not a blind faith, because the faith that is we have is the truth that is revealed in the Word of God. Now, if Christ lives in us permanently, then the result or the outcome is love. Yeah. You will have love. Now, the Greek word here, the Greek word for rooted, it says here in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You see these two words, rooted and grounded. The word rooted in Greek is rizu, which means to establish. And the Greek word for grounded is themilio, which means that you're settled and you're stable. So that means you're established and stable, and you are unmovable when Christ lives in you. Now, the problem is, now, as I said, the outcome is that you should be able to love the unlovable. Why is it that some say, "I cannot love people. I love only one whom I like to love." But the people who are ugly, bad looking, and very poor, and smelling bad, or they look really miserable, I don't want to love them. Reason is, was Jesus like that? If Jesus lives in your heart, then you can love anybody. The other reason could be that you're not rooted and grounded. You're not established. You're not grounded. That means you could be still a baby, still growing. Maybe doesn't understand. You're still trying to grow here. You're trying to get rooted. You're trying to get grounded. But you're learning. Well, how many of you are babies for so many years? Do you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7? Colossians 2, 7. Colossians 2:7, Apostle Paul said, starting from verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." What did I say? The word rooted means established. The word grounded means that you're settled and stable. And Paul says that you're, rooted and built up in Him, establishing the faith as you have been taught, abounding it with thanksgiving. Also, if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. So Paul says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast," that you are pretty stable, "and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here it's so important that we need to be grounded, we need to be rooted and grounded. Remember the story that Jesus gave, how the foolish man built his house on the sand, but the wise man built his house on the rock. So the true Christians build his house on the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, when the man who built his house, he digged deep and found a foundation on a rock, when the floods came and beat the house, it could not shake it, because it was founded upon the rock. So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17, it says there in verse 17 that, Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. In love. The Bible says God is love. Now, we are not talking of an emotional or a sexual love here. We are speaking of a divine love we can have in Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you a little bit, just in two sentences, the love of God. What is God's love? What is divine love? Let me give you a little illustration. If you go to a house that is, people are drinking, smoking, and having drugs, and if you are living in that house, will you see any love? You will not see, because there is sin all over. But if you go to a Christian house, a godly house, you will see a lot of love. Now what I am trying to show you is, God is love. God is love, and His love is perfect. Why? Because you find God's love is perfect with the exclusion of sin. In God's love, there is no sin. In heaven, you will see the perfect love of God. No sin. Exclusion of sin. And a lot of times we like to get into Christian fellowships. Why? Because we feel the love, no sin. We feel there is no, we see no, there's an exclusion of sin there. Right? Because we like it. We like the fellowship because there's love. But sometimes you go home and you say, oh, I really like that church, the fellowship. I really miss that. I feel I can stay there more. Because whenever you leave the fellowship, you're seeing sin everywhere. You don't see love. And the other thing, true love always proceeds with action. Love cannot just stay there. Love is always proceeds with action. This love is perfect when we are in heaven, as you know, of course, because there is no sin. The love is perfect in action. That means God, in His love, He doesn't just stay there, He does things. He sent His Son. He is an active God who works. He's an active God who works. He's always in action. He created the heavens. He created the universe. He governs the world. He gives rain and sunshine. And also He created the humans, us, each one of us individually. And also God is so much in love that when, how He loved us before the foundation of the world, the grace was given. And of course, in our time, we fell into sin. God did also, it was planned before the foundation of the world that he was going to send his son, and his son was going to be the sacrifice. And his son is going to suffer. The Bible says that is love. He's always in action. So for the Christian, that we, Christ, when he lives in our heart, that we are rooted and grounded in his love. That we are not just going to stay, that we can love people. Christ Jesus portrayed this perfect love of God in his life, in his behavior, in his conduct. So when Christ lives in us, in our hearts, our inner man becomes strong now. That we too can exercise the love of Christ in our conduct and our behavior. You know, there's a 90% of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. Do you know that? 90% of the friction is caused the way you speak. You know, you can, a lot of times the same person can speak and one person can get mad and another person can tell the same thing in a more gentle, loving way, caring way, that I like that person better. It's true. The way you talk is so important. And if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Speech always be with grace. Season with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. So important. The way you talk. You know, there's a saying that don't ever send an email to somebody if you are angry. Because you cannot get it back. Because after you cool down, you say, my goodness, I shouldn't have done that. I'll tell you, you'll never get that email back, because in the email, there are forward buttons too. You can forward that to many people. And you can put it in a website, on a chat room, or wherever. Once you send it, don't take it back. And somebody said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. A woman came and said, you know, there's a story that she said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up, then it's all over. I'll tell you, so is a suicide bomber. They blow up, and the damage leaves behind is terrible. We will have calmness in our soul and can bring rest to our spirit if we are praying for spiritual growth and we are rooted in God's love and we are rooted and grounded, and that we will conduct our behavior in a very calm way. So it's so important to have calmness in our soul and bring rest to our spirit. You know, the world is like a raging sea. It's like a raging sea. That's how the world is, because it's like a stormy sea with the, you find the storms of selfishness, greed, envy, malice, jealousy, anger, quarreling. And there's no rest to the soul. The soul is always restless, as the world is like a restless sea. The waves of sin, the waves of pride, the waves of anger dashing to the shore with fury. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, if you want to turn, Jesus said Matthew 11:28, me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
I'll tell you, who needs rest these days? Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here we see the world is like a raging sea, you know, all the waves are going, and with fury, with anger, with quarreling, with malice, jealousy. And Jesus said, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Yes, God wants to give you the riches of His glory, so your inner man will be strengthened with power. But you need to take His yoke and learn of Him. To take His yoke means what? What is He talking here? To take His yoke. To take His yoke means to join Him, to be connected to Him, cannot be separated. To join Him, connected to Him, binds with Him. Yes, we are weak, Apostle Paul said. But in Christ, we can become strong. We are weak, but in Christ, I can become strong. In Christ, that means we are connected, we are binded, we are together, joined together. In you alone, you can do it. But in Christ, you can do it. In Christ, you can do all things. So important to see that. Realize that Christ lives in your heart and you're joined to Him. And you'll be learn of Him. Learn of Him means here. This is the Word. This is the Word of God. This Word contains spiritual blessings. The more you learn and study, you become strong in the Lord. And you can practice love. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Again, rest, peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Take His yoke upon. Bind with Him. Walk with Him. Once you have the love of Christ, you know, God can give you the strength and the power, so you will not burst under pressure. You will be able to show God's love to the world. The world says, if somebody says something to you, against you, or makes you mad, you do the same thing. If somebody makes you angry, fight back. But Christ said the opposite. That's what I said as soon as I came, before I started. God's word is contrary to the world's will. Always. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, it's totally different. Matthew 5, but I'll tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him too. Yeah, somebody slaps you on the right cheek, Jesus said, give the other cheek too. Now that is love under control. That means Jesus said, I'm gentle and meek. The word gentle and meek means, it doesn't mean that he's kind of, you know, like a person who is kind of really nothing, looks like a vegetable or something like that. No, it doesn't mean like that. It doesn't mean, that means strength under control. That means like a wild horse who is so so much power in that wild horse, a lot of strength. Now that wild horse is under your control. You have tamed him. You can tell whatever you want to do. That's what it is. Remember, Jesus going to the cross, never opened his mouth. Strength under control. When you come across trials and tribulations in your life, yeah, there are times you had to shut your mouth. Yeah. And when somebody hits you on one cheek, I'll tell you, you need the grace of God. And Jesus went on to say, verse 44, Matthew 5, you have heard, no, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rains on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You want to be perfect? Here you go. Jesus gives the formula how you can be perfect. We can never be perfect in a sense, but at least what he's saying is, in Christ you can be perfect and you can practice these things. If you pray, you need to pray. I need to pray. Otherwise I can't do it. You know, if we don't pray, we are walking in the flesh, we are going to do our own strength. We can't. Absolutely can. Now, only a true Christian has this power and the strength to do this. And if you're walking in the Spirit, praying for spiritual growth, studying God's Word, asking for God's grace, asking for His mercy, His wisdom and knowledge, even when you see the storms coming, raging, you can sleep in peace. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We see the true story during the time of our Lord, Mark chapter 4, 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him alone in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. That means they are just about to get drowned. But he was, that is Jesus, in stern, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he rose and